live from Grove Hill, the Premier Dental Arts Morning News Express. Now your hosts, Bob Miller and Ryan Hedrick.
Morning News Express, good morning. Thank you for being part of the Morning News Express, the very first day of February. And welcome to it with Bob and Ryan. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick, the Morning News Express top gurus.
Yeah, what's going on, Bob?
You know what? I'm just shaking the cobwebs out and trying to get my artistic, juices flowing because I want to redesign the county's flag have it. I guess, well, I don't think I can now. I'm not a resident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to accept it. You have to suck it up.
Yeah.
Everything is about tearing down to build back up, isn't it, with Democrats? I mean,
well, now hang on, because that's what I was like, okay, so this is Jessica Fitzwater wanting to change because, you know, but this was part, apparently, according to an article that I read, that they're accepting because part of the county's 275th anniversary celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really that, or is it because, you know, there's Francis Scott Key standing there symbolizing, I don't know, his ability to be a racist?
No, I mean, it may be in some parts, but we see this with all new county executives and new administrators. When they come in, they want to carve their legacy out, and I think maybe this is the beginning of it. Everything that I'm hearing from the Fitzwater administration, everything that I'm hearing from, you know, the aldermen these days, is all about what can the government do? Let us protect you. Let us take care of you. We want total control over your mind, body, and soul. And I think by changing the flag, redesigning anything that has to do with Frederick County's legacy is not a very good look because it's part of our history. Can we give it a makeover and not totally redesign it? I mean, we're seeing this around the country. It's kind of actually really sad. They want to act like history never happened, like it's not part of it. Just give it a makeover. You don't have to completely tear it down to redo it.
Well, you know, and sometimes people make that mistake. If you remember, if you Google back and look at the logo that Mayor O'Connor wanted for the city of Frederick, which he went outside the city to make this logo, mm-hmm. Everybody hated it. Everybody hated it.
Yeah, it was a big controversy.
Yes, and it eventually just kind of, well, okay, we made a mistake. But I'm looking at the county flag now, and I have to wonder, and I really don't know this answer, maybe, and if John Ashbery is up and listening, or somebody else is, how long have we had this flag? And was it redesigned? Because it really, to be honest with you, look, it's not the prettiest flag in the world.
Bob, when you did live here, when is the last time, how many times did you look at the flag? Maybe I'm guilty of just negligence, not paying attention.
Of the county flag?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Ryan, it's almost time for sports.
Bob, no, seriously.
I don't think I ever looked at the county flag, to be honest with you.
Is the only place that it's displayed is Winchester Hall? Is that the only place it's flying out of?
I mean, it's actually by the grave, I think, at the Mount Olivet Cemetery.
Okay.
I'm sure other places might have the flag flying, but I don't really know how many places.
And Mount Olivet Cemetery is not exactly, I mean, it is a tourist attraction in some sense, but every time I drive past there, it's pretty empty. So we can assume.
It's full of people.
I'm sorry?
It's full of people.
Full of dead people, Bob. Yeah. But we can assume that the county flag isn't, you know, top of the mind for a lot of people. They're not thinking about it. And again, I think it's a legacy thing. I think it's an ego thing. When you look at things that you want to do, you know, the government is overstepping its bounds on so many levels. Just watch our finances, keep us safe, and stay out of our lives, honestly.
Well, I understand the feeling because, I mean, I've for years had been trying to get the name of the morning show changed from the Morning News Express before you arrived to mm-hmm. something different, like maybe, you know, the Bob Miller Express or something.
That's what you, you know what, you aim for that. You want the Bob Miller Show.
Well, I, you know, at that point, maybe, yeah, I did want something like that because everybody else's shows were like that in the world.
The Bob Miller Show. You're sitting there, you're like, I want the Bob Miller Show. And Frank's like, no.
Well, just something else. And that was like forever. Just, I love it.
I agree the Morning News Express is a little bit old.
Yeah.
Can we say it's a little bit old?
Old, yeah, like us. Well, like me.
No.
But, you know, it happens. Sometimes change is inevitable.
Yeah.
And sometimes change is not a good thing. So, yep. I mean, you have to kind of pick and choose. I mean, we changed the logos of the radio station. There's been logos, other things that have changed over the years. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, and maybe it is time as we celebrate our 275th anniversary in Frederick County that we do have a new flag. I don't know.
Let's change this conversation.
It depends on what happens with the design, you know?
Let's change this conversation and go to Sports 617.
930 WFMB Sports Update.
The Maryland Terrapins over number 21 Indiana last night. Good victory for the Terps in College Park, 66-55. We had high school basketball last night, and a lot of it, Brunswick over Catoctin. A good road victory for those kids, 55-45. Elsewhere around Frederick County, Linganore lost to Thomas Johnson 59-52. Oakdale gets past Tuscarora 53-38. Frederick remains undefeated, beating South Hagerstown easily 66-27. Walkersville 57-43. Winners over Boonesboro. Urbana over North Hagerstown 73-48. Maryland School for the Deaf over Perry Hall Christian 49-43. Good road victory for the Caps in OT last night, skating to a 4-3 winner over Columbus. It's 618 at WFMD and WFMD.com.
Burr, 32 in Frederick. It is cold, 622 on the Morning News Express, halfway through the week. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are just ready to have another weekend. Just, and I maybe one of those guys is Ryan Hendrick.
No, I actually had a really good January. So going back to last year, I've shared this with you before, but going back to last year, I got off on a really bad track in terms of like my physical fitness, my mental health was very, very poor last year, but I finished the month with the amount of workouts that I wanted to do. I did some things I wanted to do, and I think I changed the trajectory of my 2023, which was really important for me. So looking forward to February and looking forward to warmer weather, although I have to say that we are quite fortunate in this area because I'm looking at the extended forecast, and, you know, this weekend it's going to be a little bit chilly. But going into next week, 46, 51, I'm going from Monday to Friday, 46, 51, 50, 51, and 53. I'll take that in February. That's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. So did you see the Steph Curry story about...
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, so
I mean,
they
might have heard something, but not really.
So they want to build affordable housing next to Steph Curry's $30 million home.
Yeah, I did hear this.
So him and his wife have apparently come out against new affordable housing in the wealthy Bay Area city of Atheron, where they live. now, according to CNBC, the median home price in Atheron is $9 million, right?
Just under what I paid for my house.
Well, yeah, and just under what I make, right?
Right.
The town had reportedly faced criticism for its lack of affordable housing, and the city council had agreed to rezone parts of the town to allow for more earlier this month. But a public hearing on the matter scheduled for next week, and apparently, according to multiple Bay Area media outlets, Steph and his wife, I think her name is Aisha, are going to speak out against anybody living next to them in their $30 million home. How dare you? By the way, the reason I bring this up is because Steph Curry is a big, big Biden supporter. Big. Couldn't wait to get to the White House. They were uninvited from Donald Trump the last couple of years when they won the championship, but they couldn't wait to get there this year. And it's funny because when you look at some of the pet projects that Steph Curry takes part in, helping inner city Oakland, you know, feeding the homeless on holidays and Thanksgiving, you begin to think that all that is a photo op. It's just a front for who they really are.
Well, I mean, look, if you can help people in need anytime, anywhere, I applaud that. Now, the question is, of course, then the real you know, colors or who they are or whatever you want to say show up when it's right next door to you. And, you know, I think that people realize that when you talk about affordable housing, are we talking about first-time home buyers? Are we talking about people, you know, looking? Or are we talking about former homeless? Or, you know, what kind of a neighborhood are we talking about? And then, again, you're obviously going to have somebody who's paid $30 million for their home. Or it's going to give you a little pushback on putting up an affordable housing complex. They don't want affordable housing. They want to live in the areas that they have. That's why they were able to make the money that they can and buy what they want. There are other places I'm sure they could put affordable housing. Now, are we looking at like his next door neighbors, or is it 5 miles down the road?
Yeah, it's a great question and a great point. You know, Steph Curry is on the road for about 6 months out of the year. So, and I'm sure that he's going to have live in a gated community. And I'm sure affordable housing in the Atherton community is not Section 8 on the corner slinging crack to make it six baby mamas to the house. I'm sure it's not like that, Bob. I'm sure with a net average in that neighborhood, in the Atherton neighborhood, of $9 million, you're not going to get a housing project like we saw in Frederick years and years ago on 7th Street. I'm sure we're not looking at that. And again, I think it just goes to show some of the left's hypocrisy. Steph is a huge advocate for BLM, for activism, for equality. They're always preaching equality. You know, they wear it on their uniforms. The Golden State Warriors organization is about equality, and it's interesting that when you want to level the playing field, they're okay with it, but just not in their neighborhood.
Well, of course. You know, it's the old adage, do as I say, not as I do. Obviously, he wants to be in an area where it is ritzy and he can afford it. And, you know, but then again, so... I mean, just like any other property owner, I probably would not want to have that next to my house.
Hmm. You probably now, when you say that, when you say that, what are you referring to?
Affordable housing.
So we're stigmatizing affordable housing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm stigmatizing for affordable housing. That's what my first point was. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Are you talking about what they put in, as you said, in 7th Street? Or, you know, are we talking about something that's just going to be three quarters of the price or half the price of the houses in the neighborhood? Are they going to be the, you know, so affordable housing to Steph Curry? Okay, so does that mean they're only going to be $15 million homes?
Yeah, so affordable housing by government definition, this is how the U.S. government defines affordable housing, an occupant paying no more than 30% of gross income for housing costs. So okay. Now you're casting judgment, not saying you, but now Steph and the insinuation is that they're casting judgment on people that live in affordable housing. We're talking about firefighters. We're talking about police officers. We're talking about RNs, people that would potentially save and protect Steph and his family. Now they're saying in so many ways that they're not good enough to live in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, that's what people, and maybe they, I'm sure we're going to come up with another different type of acronym for affordable housing to make it
See, the media stigmatize. The media is garbage in America because they overreport things for ratings. And then they lie to the public, and then they try to cover their tracks when there's reporting like this. I mean, affordable housing is what it is, but I know plenty of people that live in quote-unquote affordable housing. By the way, Steph's mansion, 17,800 square feet, rather, 2 acres, 7 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, a movie theater, a full bar, a wine cellar, a pool, and a sun deck. And it's surrounded by And listen, he's worked hard to get to where he's at, you know, so congratulations to him. But again, you know, other people deserve the American dream, and to insinuate that affordable housing is somehow beneath him, this is a guy that grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. His father played in the NBA, and he probably never wanted for anything. He doesn't know what the struggle's like, but he pretends to know what the struggle's like.
Well, but he does pay back. He does give back. So, I mean, I think that he, you know, uses his wealth and helps out other people. But when it comes to something down the street, he probably doesn't want that. And, you know,
But he wants those people.
If you look at affordable housing, what does it do to his property value? Whether it's, you know, what would you say, 30% of somebody's salary?
Yeah.
So you think about that, and people, you know, he might want to sell his house sometime soon. Well, you know, that hurts the property values a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you agree with affordable housing or not, obviously, when you look at his mansion and his, what'd you say, 13,000 square feet? Just under what
17,000. Thousand square
feet. Just under what wonder you live in.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't have the movie theater.
Right.
I think you put a bowling alley in.
And I think I'm missing the sun deck because it's not that sunny where we live.
Right. Not right at the moment. Yeah. All right.
No. Hey, Pop. No, we can't go anywhere right now because I'm looking at a blank screen. So okay. Let's keep talking.
All right. Well.
Actually, you keep talking. I'm going to troubleshoot.
Okay. So you take a look at what he has, and you know, you think about yourself, okay? And so, as Ryan mentioned earlier, you know, the definition, but what is the definition in your head of affordable housing? You know, we've heard it before. Affordable housing is not Section 8 housing, and I think that's where we kind of get lost into certain subjects, and we have mental pictures in our minds of what affordable housing is. There's a lot of people who get into affordable housing that's a condo or it's a townhouse, something of that nature. These are not houses, at least in my mind, and if I'm wrong, somebody please call me and tell us that affordable housing is a single family home sitting on a piece of property somewhere.
Yeah. And the government, you know, the government, politicians and the media did this to us. They have stigmatized affordable housing to a point where, you know, two average American guys can't even really define what affordable housing is because the definition has changed so much and the meaning of affordable housing is changed, and one person might think that affordable housing insinuates a higher crime area, poor people getting breaks, maybe tax breaks to live in a affordable housing environment. Other people may think it's just the average American getting a piece of the American dream, which we're all entitled to if we're citizens.
Well, the other thing is, and here's where it hits me that I'm not a big fan of it, is that sometimes governments, and our county government has done this, mandate that somebody who's building some property or building houses, building a development, must set aside X amount of homes for affordable housing. And so their costs go down, and they have to find a way to recoup those costs. And that can be an issue where the government sits there and says, okay, you have to build affordable houses if you want to build your other McMansions out there. So is that something that they have to do? Or should they set, or should somebody come in and go, hey, look, I'm only going to build affordable houses.
Right.
But
right.
Then you're going to get, you know, is the government coming in and subsidizing your affordable house? I don't know. I don't think that that's the government's job.
All right, Bob. We're back up and running a little late, so we're going to get rid of... we're not going to get rid of traffic.
Morning News Express on WFMD. Well, President Joe Biden... Ryan, I know we don't have a ton of time, but we won't have to take a lot of time on President Biden because he's not worth the time.
Right.
Says he wants to end the COVID-19 as a health emergency, and he's picked a date to do it.
May 11th.
May 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a statement, he said the wind down would align with the administration's previous commitments to give at least 60 days prior notice to a termination of a public health emergency. There you go. Well, it's no longer an emergency. By considering COVID a public health emergency, it has allowed the government to provide free tests. They're not free.
Free vaccines, free everything, moratoriums. It's been a disaster. The government's response has been an unmitigated disaster. And so is the declaration. I mean, the declaration, in my opinion, the emergency health declaration we're talking about, has turned us against each other. You know, it's people are labeling people anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers. There have been fights in public places over not wearing a mask. I mean, you know, the government has really freaked people out and made people paranoid about a virus that, you know, unfortunately took some people's lives based on their pre-existing health conditions. But I think the declaration has been in place so long so the government can control its citizens and do what it wants to do under the guise of a public health emergency.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think everything that you said is absolutely true, how it turned everybody against each other. But it will all be better because at the end, May 11th, it's over.
Yeah, right.
It's over.
It's never over.
You know, it's a health emergency.
And there are people going kicking and screaming, too. There are people that don't want the emergency to be over.
Well, I'm wondering, how do I get my free test and vaccines and treatments just in case? You know, because there's going to be somebody will sue the federal government as on May 12th. There'll be a lawsuit. I didn't get my free test. I didn't get my free vaccine. I wanted boosted again, and I didn't get treatment. I am suing the government for millions of dollars.
I'm still waiting for the apology from Dr. Brookmeyer about all the false information that she released to Frederick County residents. It was just, everything was bad. The businesses that were ruined because of Frederick County following the government. Frederick County didn't have to follow the government. They just said they wanted to because they thought they were getting the most accurate information. But in Florida, they didn't follow what the federal government was doing, and no more people died in Florida than they did anywhere else. So again, it was a political battle, Bob. It was all politicized by the media, by the government. It happened during an election. Everything about it was political. And unfortunately, senior citizens and other people with poor health lost their lives because of government reckless mandates. 649 at WFMD.